I want to welcome you to Diving to Deep Waters with Erin Rowling, where we don't just put our toes or stay in the shallow end, because what's the fun in that, but where we dive into real life and use God's word to help us navigate this thing called life. So welcome, my friends. I'm super excited. Kara, who I introduced on our Instagram stories, sent me kind of a rundown of, they can track who's been listening to the podcast. And it is super exciting to see the different countries, some countries that I cannot pronounce. My son had to help me with the pronunciation of them. The Canadian one is my mom. There's like six listens from Canada. They're all my mom. So thanks, mom. But yeah, so it's crazy to think that someone would listen from a country that, at first Kara said, I think, oh, Erin knows these people from all these countries. No, I don't. So that's pretty cool. And like I mentioned, we started Instagram stories just because I thought it would give people a way to, who don't know me. I mean, like obviously my friends know me and I appreciate their support and them listening. But for people who don't, just to kind of give an idea of like who I am maybe in my daily life or, I mean, obviously I'm kind of bearing my soul on these podcasts, but this way it's a face, facial expressions, stuff like that. So, get ready. It might get crazy on those Instagram stories. So check that out. Follow us on Instagram, actually, if you're not currently following us. We have like 50-something followers. We're following like 90-something people. Yeah, come on over, follow us, and check it out. It's Diving into Deep Waters podcast with Erin Rowling. So just find that on Instagram and push follow. Also, it was kind of fun. You may have noticed this week that there's pictures now. We're feeling very like we're going to another level on this podcast with pictures. And so we did a little photo shoot the other day. I was nervous because I'm a mom and like I don't take pictures by myself. I mean, come on, I take pictures of my kids or my family, which I've tried to become more intentional about that because I make calendars for family. And I was noticing like I wasn't really in the picture. And so I started to be more intentional about taking pictures with my family, but I don't take pictures by myself. I mean, come on. So I was a little nervous and it was a little awkward. Kara was like, spin around. And I'm like, spin around. Like, I'm not, what is this? But we had so much fun. She kind of pushed me out of my back. She's like, flip your hair. And then we just started laughing and having fun. So I just want to put something out there. You're going to call me crazy. And I know as soon as I say it, some of you women are going to be like, I'm not doing that. But just hear me out. Just like put aside any preconceived ideas or don't like dismiss this when I say it, okay? Do a photo shoot. I know some of you were like, nope, not happening. Come on, people. Literally, like I had so much fun. And now I have pictures, recent pictures, if I die. I mean, I know that sounds morbid. But I was like, I like these. Kara did a fantastic job. And now I have pictures. So I know that's stupid, but I did think that when I saw, I was like, I approve these pictures if they should be needed. Anyways, my husband and I talked about that. But anyways, I just want to thank you for continuing to follow us, to continue to listen. You guys are amazing. I had some really great messages this week and they really filled my soul. And just gave me the encouragement to just keep doing this because sometimes, you know, that make it be in your head like, what are you doing? And those kinds of messages are uplifting. And so I appreciate it. So, well, let's dive in. Are you ready? The weather is getting nicer and I'm ready to dive into some real water, but we'll just dive into the this kind of water today. And we're going to dive into the word disqualified. As I was preparing for this podcast and thinking about where I should even start with this topic, because I knew I was supposed to, of being disqualified, God was like, he was like, well, let's start with you. Wrong answer, God. No. I'm thinking maybe this podcast, I don't know, maybe it's just for me. I don't know, as I was putting this together, because sometimes, you know, things are just for you. They're things that God is speaking directly to you, and they're just for you. And so I was trying to decipher if it was just for me or if this is something that's for everyone. And really, I'm going to be honest, I think it's for all of us, but I just want you to know I'm speaking a lot to myself. Like, I've made myself cry just going over this. I might cry just talking to you about it. So just let's go on this journey of talking about being disqualified. So I'm going to start with me. And I was texting a friend this week, and we were just chatting back and forth, and she made a comment. She said, before you know it, you're going to be writing a book, and then like put LOL or whatever. And I mean, as soon as I read that comment, people, this is what I thought. Come on, I can't even spell. And I don't know where to put commas. I'm not a good writer or anything like that. So the moment she said it, I totally disqualified myself. My brain immediately began to list all the reasons why I, of all people, should and can't and won't be writing a book. Immediately. Like my first thought, there wasn't even like an ounce of like, oh, no. The first thought was, disqualified. This lady right here will not be doing that. And I actually ended up mentioning it to my family, like, ha ha ha, guess what? Someone said I should write a, like, next thing you'll be doing is writing a book. And my soon-to-be son-in-law says to me, well, you know, people who do podcasts, they end up writing books, and they just take their podcasts and then they put them in a book form. And again, even with him saying that, I totally started disqualifying myself in my mind and also thought, who invited this guy to be in our family and why is he saying this to me right now? Sorry, Frank, if you're listening. But what's funny is a couple of days before that happened, I was texting another friend about being used by God. And she was expressing to me how she has all these excuses about herself, and she tells herself she can't be used because she feels like she isn't organized enough or productive enough, or she's not planned enough, and it blah, 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 blah. And so the Lord brought this back to my memory, this conversation I had. Now, I feel like if I could see God physically, like, you know, visibly see him at this moment, that this was all going on, I would see him like rubbing his chin slowly with this little smirk on his face while he asked me, so what did you reply to her when she was talking about being used in a specific way? And you know, like when you ask your kids a question and they know that you already know the answer, but they have to reply to you. and they're like super sheepish and everything. That was me with God. Like as soon as he said it, I mean, I could just feel him like, you know, like I already know the answer. And I would just like to hear you say it. And what would you like to tell me your answer is? And I'm like sitting there going, well, I was talking about, you know, not disqualifying yourself. And here I am totally over and 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 over again, disqualifying myself from thinking that I could ever do anything like that. Even mentioning to you right now about even the potential of that ever coming into fruition scares the crap out of me. I'm just going to be honest. Yes, I said crap. I like the word crap, people. sometimes it's just the word you need. Some people don't like it when I say that when I'm leading worship, but sometimes it just needs to be said. And I will tell you, even mentioning that in this podcast, like even before I started to record this podcast, I thought, maybe there's a different topic. Maybe I should do something else, because if I say it, then what are people going to think? Like, I'm disqualifying myself, and the people listening are probably disqualifying me, saying, yeah, girl, you have gone too far. You think you can do a podcast? We'll support you in that. But the whole book thing, immediate disqualified. No, you shouldn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, these are the things that honestly, even talking about, that I'm dealing with, that I'm thinking, right? As I'm saying this, I'm like thinking in my mind, I can't believe I've just put this out there that I would even entertain the thought of a book, because I am so disqualified. And as I would have been like going through this process of thinking about it, I remembered a book that is one of my favorite books, probably the first book, spiritual book besides the Bible, that I actually read the whole thing, because I don't really like books. I know it sounds terrible, but it has to be like a really excellent book, in my opinion, to capture my attention and for me to read it. But this book changed me and my husband's life when we were on our journey of starting our church, like literally changed our life. And it's called Sun Stand Still by Stephen Furtick. And I remembered there was a passage in it that was talking about feeling disqualified and feeling ordinary. And the title of it is Jesus's Affinity for the Ordinary is the like little subtitle in the book. So I don't even know what things are called in books, people. Why should I be writing one? And I'm not going to lie, I had to look up the word affinity, because like I know like to affinity and beyond. That's about all I know. I'm like, that doesn't really apply here for Jesus's affinity for the ordinary. So I looked it up, and affinity means natural liking. So I'm going to reread that. It says, so it'd be like saying Jesus's natural liking for the ordinary, kind of changes the perspective. But I just wanted to read an excerpt from it. It says, I think a lot of Christians feel that they should leave the big stuff to the religious pros and celebrity pastors. They feel like they're doing their part as long as they live decent lives, stay out of trouble, pay taxes, have babies, make a living, buy a boat, hit age 59 and a half, collect retirement, and die. Feels pretty ordinary, but I like this next line. It says, this is an unacceptable existence for redeemed sons and daughters of the King. I'm going to read it again, folks. It says, this is an unacceptable existence for redeemed sons and daughters of the King. First of all, right off the bat, I believe that we have believed a lie that we have to do something incredibly grand to be impactful. I often feel like people look at pastors and worship singers and platform speakers and writers and all of these kinds of people, and they looked at those people as those are the bee's knees. Those are the impactful Christians, and they're the ones who are like, you know, doing amazing things and all of these things. Can I just say something? Well, I'm going to say something because I'm the one talking. I think that some of the most impactful people in the world will never step on a platform. They may never preach a message or sing a song or ever actually have their name known. And yet, they are advancing the kingdom in such amazing and great ways, and people may never even know who they are. someone spoke this to me one time, and I think that a lot of you, especially you mamas of little ones, I think you can relate. This was liberating to me because when I was in that stage of my kids being little and all the hours that it takes to take care of them because it's a never-ending job and just feeling like sometimes I would look at people and be like, I want to do something great. I want to do something amazing, but here I am cleaning babies' butts and wiping noses and toddlers that are saying no to me, and I'm cleaning up every 5 seconds. Nothing ever stays clean, and I can't even go to the bathroom by myself, but I want to do something amazing. Like I felt that. I don't know, maybe you can relate. And I just want to say to you guys have the greatest calling on earth. Like, your calling is to raise those kids to love and fear the Lord. Like, what can be better than that? Like, you are doing something so great. I know you're tired and I know you're worn out, and I know that at that age you cannot see the impact that you are having. But let me tell you right now, as a mom whose children are getting older and seeing the fruit of hard labor and hard work and investment and all of those things, you are raising warriors of Christ, and you are so impactful and you are so important. No job is minuscule. No calling is too little. Nothing is like not important. I can tell you, like, the lady who cleans our church, Deb, is like phenomenal. Like, so phenomenal. Like, she puts so much effort. She praises while she cleans our church. She, like, I'm sure she is anointing chairs, anointing bathrooms, which we're gonna need when we reopen the church. But, you know, like, so impactful by cleaning. I know people who make desserts and bless people that way. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. And these people will never be on a platform. And yet their calling is just amazing. And if you think, and if you get wrapped up that to be amazing or to do something incredible is that you have to function at where people are like, oh, look at that person. Guess what? You will probably more than likely miss the calling that God has for you because you're so wrapped up in bigger is better kind of attitude or thought process that you can totally miss what God has for you. And you don't diminish your calling. Please do not. Please don't. Because like I said, the most impactful people don't even know who they are, but the people that God has called them to impact know who they are. And I think when we get to heaven, we are going to be surprised with who is got the biggest crown, because God was like, that one was doing my service and fulfilling their calling. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I'm sorry. I had to say that because I've been there. I've felt it. And yet, you know, when someone told me that and just brought value to what I was doing and helped me see it from that perspective, it literally helped liberate me. And I needed to remind myself of that often in that season of my life. So I just wanted to impart that to you. Secondly, I think that God has a sense of humor. And I'm going to tell you why, because we're going to kind of get into the story of Gideon. And maybe you're like, I already know the story. Well, we're going to get into it. And because Gideon, of all people, if we're going to talk about disqualifying ourselves, then let's talk about Gideon, because he's the perfect example. So we have Gideon, who is... It talks about him threshing. I almost said threshing. I think it's threshing wheat in a wine press. And which, let's just stop right there, because you don't, if you know anything about wheat, not that I'm an expert on it, but if you know anything about wheat, you don't thresh it in a wine press. You would do it like out in the open air, because you actually would like want the wind to take the shaft off when you're like hitting it, or I don't know if you're beating it or whatever. Like I said, not an expert. And so you wouldn't be doing that in an enclosed space, because that's not going to work. So right off the bat, we've got Gideon in a wine press, and it's mainly because he's down there because he's afraid. He's afraid of the Midianites, who are coming and kind of pilfering their villages and stuff, like picking on the Israelites. So this guy is like, I'm not going to do the wheat out in the open. I'm not going to be a sitting duck for these Midianites. Nope, I'm going to go down in the wine press, and I'm going to do what I need to do down there. Now, so this whole account is found in Judges 6, if you want to go and find it and read the whole account. But now that we've set the stage, in verse 12, it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Did you get that? He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Who is he calling mighty warrior? He's calling Gideon a mighty warrior who's scared, who's like hiding to do his work because he's afraid. And Gideon, knowing that he is not a mighty warrior, says, but sir, there's the but. So he's called a mighty warrior, and what does he do immediately? He immediately disqualifies himself. Right off the bat, that's what he does. Sound familiar? Sounds familiar to me. Verse 14, it says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Ooh, go in the strength you have. Well, Gideon didn't really have the strength. And God knew that he didn't have the strength. So he's reminding him, am I not sending you? Like, because you don't have the strength to do it in yourself. But, see, that's where a but is good. Not like an actual but a but is good when it's coming from the Lord. Because the Lord is saying, hey, you take whatever you got, which wasn't much. And am I not sending you? Am I not going to go with you? If one but isn't enough that Gideon has with the Lord, he has another one in verse 15. He says, but Lord. He's like, okay, so he's called me a mighty warrior. I'm not that. I'm already disqualifying myself. And then he's telling me, take the strength I have. He's going to be with me. But I don't know if that's enough, because I'm still disqualifying myself. So I'm just going to say it again. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Here comes the excuses. Here's a list of disqualifications for himself. He says, how can I save them? I think he missed the part where the Lord said he was sending him, but he says, how can I save them? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. So in his group, they're the weakest. And if they're the weakest, not only that, but Gideon sees himself as the least in his family. Now, what's funny is God doesn't say, oh, you know what, Gideon, now that you bring that up, you know, is there another Gideon? Like, maybe I went to the wrong clan. Maybe I got the wrong Gideon. I'm sure there's another one that he is the mighty warrior. I'm so glad that you brought to my attention all of your disqualifications for being a mighty warrior. And I'm so glad you brought that to my attention, because, you know, got the wrong guy. People, God does not make mistakes. And I love God's answer. He doesn't say you're the wrong guy. He doesn't say, oh yeah. No, the Lord answered, I will be with you. That's the Lord's answer. I will be with you. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything that God has asked you to do that when he's asked you to do it, you have had a list of disqualifications of yourself? When he asked you to do it, or when he began to call you by who he sees that you are, you let your weaknesses be the excuse of why you can't do it. Do you have a list of buts? Are you like me and you feel disqualified and every disqualification literally just pops into your head? It's there, like a list of things. I want to ask you a question. What if we thought about being disqualified in a different way? Could there be a positive thing to being disqualified? Can we maybe have a perspective shift on what disqualification actually could mean? I mean, what if we looked at it as a positive thing? Because by God using us, despite being disqualified, that might bring him a tremendous amount of glory. By him calling forth us, who's disqualified, that shows the world that he can do something pretty amazing with people who really don't have much to offer. Is that a perspective shift for you? Because it was for me. Have you ever thought about the glory that God would receive by using you and your disqualifications? Are you scared? I'm a little scared, people. Do you feel like you're the least? Good. I hope you do. Some of you are saying, excuse me? Wait, isn't this supposed to be positive? Well, yes, I think that's an okay place to be when we realize that by being disqualified, God shines even more. Like he's going to shine so bright because people are going to look at, oh, that person, I didn't think there was much going on there. But look at how God used them. He receives so much glory from that. Wouldn't that be amazing? It's totally looking at it from a different perspective and from the perspective of God, bringing God into the mix of the disqualifications. So you have your list of disqualifications and you're looking at it in a negative way, where God's looking at it in a positive way. He's going, look at what I can do with someone who's totally disqualified, and he's going to get all the glory and the honor and the praise for using you. I mean, think about the disciples. They're a bunch of fishermen. God could have used some pretty impressive people to use as his disciples, who ended up being the hands and the feet of him and carried on the work of who he was. That's who God used, was a bunch of pretty unqualified people in using them for greatness. God says, go in the strength you have, which Gideon didn't have much of his own strength. But God says, go in what you have, and he'll make up the difference. Stop looking at it as like, I. Oh, we're so good at that. I can't do that. Nope, that, I. And God is saying, yeah, you can't, but I can. And think about this too. God's not going to call you into something without backing you up. Our friend Christopher shared this with us when we were on the journey of starting our church. And I've used it just to encourage myself through a lot of things. And again, I'm not talking just huge, massive things that people look at as big things. I'm talking about whatever God is calling you to. And he said, the heavens have no choice than to back you up. And that really stuck with me because it made me realize not when God calls me into something, that the heavens are also going to back me up. Not only is God going to back me up, but the entire heavens are going to back me up. It says that they're cheering us on. They're encouraging you. They're excited to watch us run our race. That's pretty amazing. I mean, do you think about that? It's like when my daughter would run track and she had her fans and we'd all be standing there and we'd all be there to support her. And she'd be coming around that bend and like that last, you know, 100 meters. And it was like so close. And I knew like she's the kind of runner who could pull it out, and she would see somebody and she would pass them. And there we are. And we're just like, go, Liz, go, 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 go. And like screaming at the top of our lungs. That is what the heavens are doing for you. As God has called you into the aspects that he's called you into, and you're over there disqualifying yourself, the heavens are screaming, go, come on, you can do it. They're backing you up. It's not only do you have God, you have the heavens, my friend. Listen, whatever is your calling, whether it's being the most impactful mom or the best teacher or the pastry maker or the cake maker or the cook or the caregiver, the author, friend, prayer warrior, cleaner, etc., whatever it is, whatever he calls you to do, please do not disqualify yourself. Whatever it is, stop disqualifying yourself. Know that if he is calling you, he is fully aware of who you are. And you have the opportunity to be used for his glory. Say, you know what? I know all the things I can't do, but I can't wait to see what God's gonna do with this. How he is going to receive the glory, because I know I don't really have much to offer, but I know when he gets a hold of it, it's going to be awesome and it's going to give him so much glory. See, when you buy in to the fact that God can't use you and you disqualify yourself, you're just like that passage in Stephen Furtick's book, you're just gonna die. Is gonna live this life and die. What good is that, my friends? Because it is unacceptable. Say that right now. Unacceptable existence for the redeemed sons and daughters of the King to just live a life that's blah. Do you hear me? That is unacceptable. You know what is acceptable? Is disqualified people being used by God who just say, here I am. Use me. What do you want to do? And let's see God's glory shine through. And I know that he's going to back me up. And I know that the heavens are going to back me up. And let's just see how this journey rides out, because it's going to be amazing. You have the opportunity to be used for his glory, for his name's sake. This just hit me when I was thinking about for his name's sake. You want to make your dad proud? We're sons and daughters of the King, right? So when we're used for his glory, when we stop discounting ourselves and disqualifying ourselves, and we let him do what he wants, I think we make him pretty proud. Just take that in for a second. You get to make the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Your dad, that's your dad. You get to make him proud. And it's all for his kingdom. Gideon felt disqualified. Yet God calls him by what he saw in him, a mighty warrior. God is calling you what he sees in you. And he says, you just take what you have and I will be with you. I'm just going to be honest. I'm digesting this myself. I'm speaking to myself. I don't know exactly how and where and when and why and all of those answers, but I know that no matter what, whether a book happens or not, I am not going to disqualify myself. Because if he wants something to happen, I want to be faithful to obey, and I want to walk in everything he has for me. I don't want to just live this life blah and just blah. No, I'm speaking to myself. I'm going to stop disqualifying myself and say, okay, God, if this is something you want, you're going to be there with me and the heavens are going to be cheering me on and voila, it's going to be for your glory. So my friends, any thoughts that are coming into your mind that are of disqualification, just release that in Jesus' name and just begin to say, God, if you have something for me or anything that you're calling me to, whether it's being a mother, all those things that I've said, just help me to do my very best to just honor you. And I know that you will make up all the difference, all the parts of my life that lack. And you've got my back. I love you. And let's see what God's gonna do. Amen.